Father, we pray that you would help us now as we open the scriptures together, that you would teach us, Lord God, as of yourself, that our hearts would be open and receptive to your word. We would not be hard-hearted and indifferent. And Lord, we would know what it is to have the inner ministry of your spirit as he takes your word and brings it with power and effect in our lives. Because we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to see some grandparents here today. Welcome, special welcome to Ross and Lorraine and Denise. And we've got other grandparents around as well, I know. Proud grandparents, and it reminds us that, the effect that good parenting has on kids. But also we're reminded that even the most religious parents can really fail to properly look after their kids if they don't follow God's word. We read that illustration or that story before about the priest Eli and his sons. Here he was a priest, here he was serving in the temple, here he was with the most centrally important job in the whole of the nation of Israel, and his own sons were out of control. His own sons were making a mockery of the whole thing, and they were, the word blasphemy is not often used in the Bible, but they were blaspheming against God by their actions. And we're told that Eli didn't restrain his own sons as he should have done. And so if you're a parent today, you have a crucial, you have a critical role in raising your children. And it's good to be reminded of that on a day like today when we have a child who's brought for baptism. You have a critical role in the raising of your children to know and love the Lord. Here in this passage that we read, this is written by the Apostle Paul to this church in Ephesus, and he's talking about different kinds of relationships. Earlier on, he's talking about husbands and wives, and here he talks about children and parents, and then he goes on to talk about servants and their masters. And he's talking about bringing up children because he knows, and you and I know, that if you're a parent, you have a particular interest. In fact, you have an interest in the good of your children that nobody else has. In fact, from what I observe and from what we learn in the media, pretty much the interest that other people have in your children comes down to money. They want to make money off your kids. How much McDonald's, Happy Meals can they sell your children? Okay. Get a little toy with it. Or KFC or whatever it is. How many Barbie dolls can they sell and the costumes that go with them? Or Star Wars Lego? Or PlayStation games? Or they want to fill their heads with ideas, and for example, that they should be pretty quick to lose their virginity. Really, nobody else has an interest in your kids like you do. I mean, I know there are great teachers, and I know that there are other family members, and there are great people in the community and in the church who are going to help and show a loving interest in your kids. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to you as parents. Only you as a parent have that responsibility that is given to you, and that control and that ability to shape the lives of your children for better or for worse. And as a parent, whether you're a mum or you're a dad, you are different. You are different, and the buck really kind of stops with you, doesn't it, for your kids. You want your kids to be happy. You want your kids to be useful members of society. And above all, if you're a Christian today, you want your children to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? Amen? Yeah. You want your kids to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this passage here, I'm just going to talk about one verse today, forgive me, Bible expositors, but I'm going to just talk about one verse, which is that verse 4. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Isn't it interesting how the Apostle Paul, by the way, when I preach on a thing, I always feel very inadequate because you know me, you know my kids, you know how my parenting is. You probably observe it, and we observe each other. But, you know, here we have a guy who was a bachelor, wasn't he? He never had any kids. But he would have traveled around. As he traveled around the churches, you can imagine him going to all the different communities. He would have seen stuff. And the first thing that he has, the first word of advice that he has is, don't provoke your kids to be angry. Don't provoke your kids to be angry. And he's thinking about the everyday tensions in family life and relationships and the responsibilities of parents and fathers in particular. He zeroes in on fathers here, but as the head of the household, but also as those who probably have this tendency to do this to their kids. You see, what is he thinking about first up? He's thinking about a relationship. He's reminding you that this is a relationship with your kids, and he's reminding you to be kind to your kids. That's what he's telling you, isn't he? Be kind to your children. Don't make them angry by the way you treat them. Don't treat them like they are some opposition, you know, cricket team or something like that. Don't sledge them. Don't treat them like somebody you are angry with and you're competing with in the workplace or wherever it is. That neighbor who throws stuff over your fence or whatever. He says, the way you think about your kids is you've got to think about them in a relational way. You've got to relate to them, and you've got to be kind to them. Be kind to them. So he's warning against lording it over them. In Colossians, he gives a similar piece of advice, and he says, don't do this, don't lord it over them, don't provoke them to anger. He says, so that they become discouraged, and they kind of like give up, and they're like, well, you know, I can't do anything to ever make my mum or my dad happy. They're always nagging me, they're always down on me, I'm never measure up to their standards, I never get it right, you know. They always find a fault in what I've done. They'll even look for a problem or a fault in what I've done. What's the point? And he says, you don't treat your kids like that. Would you like somebody to treat you like that? Fault finding and provoking you, nagging you, calling you names. He says, you become discouraged. You become angry. And in Colossians, he says, they become discouraged. And, you know, we can be so, as parents, can't we? We can be so exacting and demanding of our kids. You know, in fact, we can, I see this in myself. I expect my kids to be better than I am. You know, like, pick up that mess of fault, you know, tidy up your room. Come on, finish that food. Finish those peas or those beans or that mashed carrot. You know, it's like, that's disgusting. But you finish your meal. I put that on your plate, you've got to eat it. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad or a good thing to do. You've got to decide. But, you know, sometimes we kind of, what I'm saying is we can say that to our kids, and we wouldn't do that ourselves, would we? We wouldn't eat that stuff, you know. But we expect our kids to eat it. Or we expect them to somehow behave, you know, better, and we demand more from them than we would even from ourselves. You know, in Hosea, this is a prophet, Hosea, in the Old Testament, in chapter 11, verse 1, we read, when the Lord speaks about his relationship with his people, he talks about himself as being a parent. And how does he describe that parental relationship? He says in Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. What's God saying there is, he says, my relationship with my people was like a father-child relationship, and I loved them. I was kind to them and concerned about them. And so So the first thing is, you know, we in our relationship with our kids, well, I can't remember what title I gave, it's to raise them with gospel love. We need to raise them with gospel love, with that kindness, don't we? And the other thing is to emphasize that this is a gospel relationship. Notice what he says in that verse. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So this, he's talking about the kindness relational aspect of it. But he says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is a theme that undergirds this whole statement, doesn't it? It's of the Lord. What is he referring to? He's referring to when you're reading in the New Testament, we saw this when we were looking at Jehovah's Witnesses and the way they change the Bible. But when you see the Lord in the New Testament, it's invariably referring to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord, as God. And so what that underscores for us is that this is a gospel relationship, isn't it? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them up and to relate to them in a kind gospel way as the Lord Jesus would relate to us. That's your primary focus and motive for raising kids. It's not about, hey, you know, the Ten Commandments, kids. I know some families like to do that, and there's nothing wrong with having, if you want the Ten Commandments on your wall, put the Ten Commandments on your wall. But you don't sit down with your kids each night or every morning and you say, well, kids, here's the Ten Commandments. This is my expectation of you. Have you stolen today? Come on, tell me the truth. Have you told any lies today? You know, you don't relate. He says it's your relationship is not of the law, but it's of the Lord. It's not of the law, it's of the Lord. It's a gospel relationship. And so this is the responsibility that is given to you. And by the way, it's also not a relationship that, and look, who has picked up some new Christian book or parenting fad or something like that and used it? Come on, be honest. I've done that, yeah. Okay, whether it's how to feed your child every 2.5 hours or something like that or whatever. You know, there's some good stuff and there's some crazy stuff out there. But that's, again, it's not the focus, is it? You don't want to bring your kids up to be like some guy in America has written a book or done a video series or some website based on how to raise kids. That's not your focus, is it? God's not calling you to do that. He doesn't care about that. It's going to change. It changes every couple of years, doesn't it? My mum is 89 and she'll tell you about parenting when she was young, what the plans and the principles were and what the doctors said you should do with feeding children and disciplining children and all that, but it just changes. You know, Auntie Oprah, who's the other guy, the dude that wears the, it's crazy, that guy wears the hospital scrub sort of thing on a talk show, something. Dr. somebody, and there's Dr. Phil, and there's whatever, you know. It's not about that. It's bringing them up in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's doing everything within the framework of the gospel, and the gospel is what? It's about sin, recognizing sin, and recognizing that there is forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a forgiveness that comes by grace, which is free, okay? You don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive, and you don't have to build up brownie points and credit and merit in order to attain it. It's free. It's a gospel relationship. It's a grace relationship. And so we lovingly bring our children up in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing this for the Lord Jesus, aren't we? You know, sometimes we as parents, we put so much, we stoke our egos through our kids, don't we? You know, we want all our kids to be super smart. We want them to be little Einsteins. You know, ooh, look how smart they are. You know, we want them to be sports players. Man, look how good he is on the field, or with a cricket bat or tennis or whatever. You know, it'd be nice, that thought, eh? You know, pro golf player, and dream of retiring early and just traveling around the world, or a singer or something like that, and just supporting your kids until they get sick of you hanging around and tell you to go and take a jump. you know, or we want them to be little Pharisees or All Blacks or whatever it is. You know, that's sometimes we have all that, eh? And then you have a child that has a learning difficulty or has some major health issue. And the Lord humbles your pride, doesn't he? Because it's not about that, is it? That's about our human pride and ego. It's about the gospel, isn't it? We're to bring our children up in the Lord, and we are to do in a loving and a kind way, because it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gospel-focused way. It's about them knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and serving and honoring him. He also says here, though, doesn't he? He says, fathers, do not provoke your children. So that's the kindness, relational, gospel way. But he says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the word. What a word that is, eh? Discipline. I was reading the news this morning, and apparently there's some bit of an outcry happening at the moment because there is a book. I haven't read the book. I think I've heard of it before, but there is a book, and somebody has discovered it. It's in Auckland Library, and it's a book written by some, I don't know who they are. They could be, I don't know, crazy people. But anyway, there's some Mr. and Mrs. Pastor dudes from America, and it's talking about how to discipline your kids and how to, you know, whack them in the right way and how to, you know, how to slap them and babies and all that sort of stuff, you know. And somebody's discovered that this book's in the library, and they're like, man, that's so evil. You know, we need to get rid of that book. And 50 Shades of Grey as well. No, not 50 Shades of Grey. But we need to get rid of that book, you know? Because that book's bad, and it's about child abuse. And so when people think of, when you hear the word discipline, eh, that's what a lot of people think. They think of just whacking people or growling people or arresting people. What is he talking about here? You know, in the Old Testament, we're told that God disciplined his children through the law, through the prophets, through the writings, through wisdom, you know, the proverbs that we've got in the Bible and the Psalms and all of those writings. And God continues that he uses his word, doesn't he? He uses the scriptures. He gives us the word of God. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. Okay, so he gives us his word. He continues that process of discipline. And we are to do this in gentleness. We're to correct. We're to bring people back into the right path. And it's a work, ultimately, of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says here, you know, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline. Use discipline. You know, with Christian children, God uses parents to discipline them and correct them to follow him. You know, it's not something that's an optional extra. It's like, well, should I discipline my kids or not? You know, let me think about that. What do you think, honey? Should we discipline our kids or just kind of leave them to run wild? What do you reckon? He doesn't say that, does he? He says, you know, if you're a parent, you have a responsibility to help your children to know discipline, to discipline them. In fact, in Proverbs, now here, I'm going to quote a really controversial proverb. This is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. It says, he that withholds his rod hates his son, but he that loves him disciplines him diligently. Now, you notice with Proverbs, they say one thing, they say negative, positive, okay? Don't do this, but do that. So it says, he who withholds the rod hates his son, meaning the one who doesn't discipline his child hates him. Some people argue and say, this is like the rod, you should be whacking your kids. I don't believe, actually, and this is, I'm not saying this is some sort of liberal statement, I'm not saying this means you have to whack your kids with a rod. How many parents actually have got a rod at home that you use to whack your kids with? Come on, you're supposed to be Christians, okay? It says you've got to have a rod. I presume it means one of those fiberglass ones that you get from Poultron Industries in Gisborne. No, it doesn't mean that, does it? It's talking about discipline itself. It's a metaphor for discipline. The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me and they guide me. It's a picture, isn't it, of God's care. And what it's saying is that a parent who actually doesn't discipline their child, in effect, is actually hating them. They're not loving them. Now, you know, How many of you, maybe don't put up your hands, but how many of you let your kids drink Coke and eat chalky biscuits for breakfast every morning? Put your hands down, okay? No, I don't want to see them, okay? All right? If your kids say to you, Mom, Dad, I want Coke, I want Pepsi for breakfast, and I want fish and chips, or I want chocolate biscuits, you know, or Mallow Puffs for breakfast, do you give that to your child? Come on, do you give it? Is that healthy breakfast, Coke and Mallow Puffs? No, it's not. Be quiet, okay? How many of you give that to your child? Now, if my children say to me, sometimes I'll say, oh, I have a lolly, and I go, no, okay? How many of you give your, you mean if your children ask you for Pepsi or Coke or whatever it is, and chocolate macaroons or whatever, or Toffee Pops, sounds yummy, you mean you don't give that to your child? Okay? But your child has asked for it. They want it for breakfast. And you're saying no to them, aren't you, when they ask you for that? You're saying no. Did you know that you're disciplining your child by doing that? You're not giving them what they want. You're saying no to them. And you say to them, no, it's not healthy to drink Coca-Cola at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's not good for your teeth, okay? It's not good for your puku. It's just not going to help you. It's not going to help you to grow strong. And Mallow Puffs are just not really going to get you through the day. And as a parent, you have that responsibility, don't you? So when we discipline our children, actually we are demonstrating our love for them. We're showing that we actually care about them. We want the best for them. We want them to eat porridge. Okay? Yes! Porridge and milk without that sweet stuff in it, all right? That's because we want them to have a healthy body. And have healthy minds and have a good day at school. And of course, sometimes that may require us to say, right, that's it. You know, you've been really naughty. You are going to get a bit of a growling. You're going to get put in your room. You're going to get no more computer time for the rest of the week. You're going to get your whatever taken off of you. Or you may get a smack on the bottom. Okay, and that isn't part of it. But you explain it. You don't just smash them and say, get out of here, you stink. You explain to them. You say, you've been naughty, you've done wrong. You're going to be disciplined. And this is what's going to happen. You know, we had that case there of Eli. You know, there's another example in the Bible, which if you... you'd think, you know, these guys sorted out. But if you carry on reading... in those books, and you come to one called First Kings, and we're told that after David, when David was an old man, and we read that one of his sons, his name was Adonijah, and when he realized that David was basically old and senile and not no longer able to cut it, we read this. Now Adonijah, son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king, and he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And then we read this really interesting statement. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking him, why have you done thus and so? And he was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. Isn't that an insightful statement there about King David? He has got this son who's out of control. His name is Adonijah, and he's appointing himself as king. He says, hey, that's it. I'm going to be king. The old fella's lost it. He's no longer able to cut it as king. And he says, I'm going to be king. And we're told this one little line that says, because David never, ever said to his son, what are you doing? He never engaged him. He never disciplined him. He never challenged him. He never put any boundaries around him. And we know part of the reason for that was David had such a big family. But isn't it interesting how it tells you the reason why this is happening here? A lack of discipline. And of course, the results were disastrous for that that whole family. He never crossed him. He never pained him. Never displeased him in any way. You know, when you discipline your kids, when you say no to your kids, I saw this yesterday. I was at the warehouse and I saw a little kitty my kids have done this. You know, I think they're with the grandparents and they bought them a lollipop. And what, do you think this kid was happy with a lollipop? No, this kid was stamping and screaming and starting to hit his grandparents. Why? Because, I don't know why, actually, because just wasn't happy with the lollipop. Probably wanted a whole packet of lollipops or wondered what the big sister had or the... You know, they're not going to thank you. They're not going to... It's going to displease them, isn't it? But discipline is something that loving parents do. And those who neglect their kids don't discipline them. And just, he says, discipline is part of it, but also there is the instruction, isn't there? Your kids ever ask you, why? Why? You know, you cannot go with your friends. Why? Why can't I go? Because I said so. All right? But it's a... Now, sometimes it's a defiant question, isn't it? Which is like, I don't really like what you're saying. But sometimes, though, it's a good question, though. Why? Because your child is thinking and you need to be prepared to ask. You answer, you need to be able to say to them, well, actually, I don't think it's a very good idea for you to go out with your friends tonight because I know your friends and I know that the places they're going to be going and I know that, you know, that no one is, that they've known to get to drink and drive and that sort of thing, and the parties, the places they're going to go, not good places for them to be, and I don't think you're going to be safe, and I don't think that's going to be a good environment for you to be in. Or you cannot have Coke for breakfast because it's going to rot your teeth and rot your gut. Okay. And sometimes your kids do want to know. So this is where the instruction comes in. You know, it's not, you can't just be like an army sergeant major and just say, you know, bark out orders and left, right and center and say, no Coke, no parties, brush your teeth, make your bed, vacuum the floor. You can't do that, can you? It involves instruction, it involves teaching, it involves explaining. You know, when people tell you to do things, do you want to know why? Of course you do. We all want to know why. And so here he says, you know, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. That means teaching, that means training, that means educating them, that means encouraging them, that means showing them. Some of you will know of a well-known passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Anybody know the passage I'm talking about? Anybody know it off by heart? It's chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise, and so on and so forth. What is that? That's instructing, isn't it? That's teaching. Does that mean, you know, you have a set time at home every night where you sit down and you instruct your kids? No, he's saying you instruct your kids. You talk to them about the Lord at, you know, all the time, all places, whether they're having a shower or whether they're having their breakfast or whether they're getting ready for bed or whether you're walking them to school or driving them to school or whatever. That's an opportunity to talk with them. And to instruct them, to teach them all the time in all places, to teach them the fear of the Lord, to know and to love Him. And what do you teach them? What is it that's going to keep them on the straight and narrow? Let me ask you a question. What is it that you know that has made the greatest change in your life? What is it that you have learned that has made the greatest change in your life, that has stopped you from doing bad stuff and help you to live the right way, to live God's way? What is it? What's the thing that you now know that you didn't know before that has helped you? Was it when somebody said, hey, you know, you shouldn't steal because there's a commandment that says thou shalt not steal? Did you know that stealing was bad before you stole? Sure you did. But what is it that has made the biggest change in your life? What is it that's turned your life around from going in this direction so that now you're going in this direction? What is it? Anybody know? Jesus! Did you hear what she said? She said, Jesus. Jesus is what makes the change, and the knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the thing that changes, well, it's changed your life. I know that. It's changed my life. I know that. And that's the thing that's going to change the hearts of your children. Not banging on the table or on the pulpit. Not shouting at them. Not whacking them. Okay, not therapy, not seminars, not books, not movies, not all of that stuff. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to bring change into their hearts and their lives. And that's a great thing, isn't it? That's a great thing. Because we are there and we share the gospel with them and we live the gospel with them and we pray that the Holy Spirit's going to do his work and we say, Lord, please, please take care of my kids. Please take care of my kids. Help me to be a good parent. Help me to discipline them. Help me to instruct them to do a good job. But Lord, it's of you. It's of you. And I'm letting you, Lord God, you take control, you take charge, you change their lives, you change their hearts, because only you can do that. I can talk to them till I'm blue in the face. I can shout at them until I'm hoarse in my throat. And no change will happen. And so as I said at the beginning, you know, we live in a society that doesn't really value parenting or godly parenting. There are some ideas, there's some thoughts out there. And many people, the only interest they have in your kids is financial or whatever. But the Lord comes and he gives you some instruction here. This is God's call for you today. If you're a parent, it's not an optional. And if you're a grandparent, you keep on doing the good work. If you're an auntie, you keep doing the good work. If you're an uncle, you keep doing the good work. If you're a friend, you keep doing the good work. But be assured of this. If you're a Christian parent and you share the gospel and you share a gospel heart with your children and that the gospel takes effect in their lives, one day they will rise up and they will call you blessed. They will rise up and they will call you blessed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. Because even though you call us to be parents and that work is too difficult, it's too hard, it's too challenging, it requires so much energy, it requires so much attention, and we feel that we fail all the time, we thank you that you have given us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That through Christ Jesus our Savior, the one who came and died on the cross for our sins and rose again that we might live through him. We have that same hope, that same help, that same powerful force that we can pray into effect and work into effect in the lives of our own children. And I pray, Lord God, for the parents here today. I pray for them that they would be given strength, that they would be given courage, that they would be given wisdom, that you would surround them with those who support them and encourage them. And we pray for our children, Lord God, that you would protect them from evil and you would hold them to yourself, that they may know and love you, the living and the true God. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.